Mr. Secretary, is the declaration ready to be signed?
It is.
Very well. Call the roll.
New Hampshire, Dr. Josiah Bartlett. Massachusetts, Mr. John Adams. Rhode Island, Mr. Stephen Hopkins. Connecticut, Mr. Roger Sherman. New York, Mr. Lewis Morris. New Jersey, the Reverend Jonathan Witherspoon. Pennsylvania, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. Delaware, Mr. Caesar Rodney. Maryland, Mr. Samuel Chase. Virginia, Mr. Thomas Jefferson. North Carolina, Mr. Joseph Hughes. South Carolina, Mr. Edward Rutledge. Georgia, Dr. Lyman Hall.
I'm Russ Roberts on WJMA AM and FM, a special Sunday program on Independence Day 1976. During the next hour, we're going to be taking a musical tour of America, music dealing with different places. We'll start out with John Denver, and we'll hear from such people as Tony Bennett, Beach Boys. It's going to be a good hour. Later on in the hour, something you might want to record, predictions of the future that up to this point have been amazingly accurate. So count on the Kali Yuga world cycles at about quarter till.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. Left the yesterday behind him, you might say he was born again. Might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, by a song, but the string's already broken, and it doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. The Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Shadowed from the starlight, it's softer than a love. Solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His side is turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. And the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire. Talk to God and listen to the casual reply. Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain High. wander, but his heart still knows some fear of a simple thing he cannot comprehend. Why they try to tear the mountains down to bring in a couple more, more people, more scars upon the land. In the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. I know he'd be a poor man if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High.
Conductor Ralph Sharon found this song for me in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I was rehearsing in the afternoon at a nightclub I was appearing in, and a bartender turned to me and said, "Whatever you do, make sure you record that song." I took the song to the Fairmont Hotel and sang it on opening night in San Francisco. It became my biggest song. Everyone in the world wanted to meet me after that. And I'm forever grateful, which all goes to prove that you should listen to your neighborhood bartender. He very well may turn out to be your best friend. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun will shine.
And there's old Tony Bennett. I left my heart in San Francisco. We're going to continue our musical tour of the country here shortly, but first we'll talk for a minute. This program is being recorded for posterity. Now, hopefully, this program will be rebroadcast 100 years from now in 2076. Hopefully on Independence Day, if the program can be preserved that long. And so later on, we're going to be doing some typical things, what typical people do in 1976 here on July 4th. I think we'll have some fun with that one.
Visions of America, the Next 100 Years, a 37-part bicentennial weekend special from WJMA, sponsored by the Orange Madison Co-ops.
WMAL Radio's Washington political commentator, Joseph McCaffrey, joins WJMA's Visions of America after this.
Why keep a bunch of different greases and grease guns around your farm? Get the grease that can do it all, Unico B660 from Southern States. Unico B660 is the only grease you need for on-the-farm lubrication. Scorching heat can't melt it, freezing cold can't stiffen it, and water can't wash it away. Unico B660 is the lubricant you need to handle high speeds, heavy loads, and wide temperature variations. And the Orange, Madison, and Gordonsville stores of the Orange Madison Co-op have Unico B660 multi-purpose grease in handy tubes or in economical, larger sizes. So why bother with a lot of different greases around your farm? See your nearby store of the Co-op and get the lubricant that can do it all. Unico B660, the multi-purpose grease from Southern States. Visit your nearby store of the Co-op today.
We know what you need at Southern States.
For over 20 years, Joseph McCaffrey has watched life come and go on Capitol Hill in Washington. Through his reports, he's told us what has happened in this country. Now we asked him what's going to happen in the next century.
I thought it would be easy to sit down in a quiet spot, perhaps on a hill over at Reeve in Culpeper County, and meditate my mind into the year 2076, 100 years from now. I can now give this report. It is not easy. I can also report it's impossible. Now, when I was a younger man, I'm sure I could, and often did, rush in where angels feared to tread. It's not that I'm now an angel, although I deny I'm the other part of that metaphor. How do I know what life will be 100 years from now? I'm not even sure what my light bill will be for June. The power company has been able to outguess me for the last couple of years, and I still have not adjusted to that cute little fuel adjustment extra they tuck me with. Life used to have some certainties. Today, life in Culpeper and Orange have more certainties than life in Northern Virginia, and certainly more than in the District of Columbia or any other big city. But even in our own area, we're not as certain about anything as we were at one time. At least, I think we were certain about some things, or maybe something, at one time, but I'm not certain about that either. Let me give you a case in point. Could you have told me 1 year ago today, 1 year, mind you, that within 1 year, in 1976, the Democrats would have as their candidate for president not Henry Jackson, not Teddy Kennedy, not, oh, who were all those people we kept talking about back then, but would have that as the Democratic candidate, a big peanut man from the South? You never could have told me that, and that, I remind you, was looking forward only 1 year. Now, if we couldn't call the Democratic Party choice for president 1 year in advance, what chance, I ask you, what chance do we have looking across space into the year 2076? I mentioned this to John Glenn the other day. After all, he's been up there in space as the first American to orbit the Earth. He looked at me and said, "But Joe, I'm no longer up there." Now, if John Glenn can't see through space, who am I to make an attempt? What I think I'm arriving at is this. I appreciate your invitation to project into the future, but I don't think I can do it. I'm not certain. I can't, you understand. I just don't think I can make it. Anyway, I sure do hope you people around Orange have a nice 4th of July, that you don't get stunned by a sparkler, and when you come to Culpeper, pick up a copy of Dear Old Culpeper News. Thank you. Thank you.
Joseph McCaffrey is WMAL Radio's political commentator. He's also publisher of the Culpeper News. And that was his vision of America. I'm Russ Roberts.
Visions of America, the Next 100 Years, a look at third century America, has been sponsored by the Orange Madison Co-ops.
Beach Boys recorded that one back in 67. California Girls here on WJMA AM and FM on this special bicentennial program. I'm Russ Roberts. We'll conclude our little tour of America with this from Bob and Ray.
Right now, I'd like to ask you to pay attention to this public service announcement. The National Parks Association reminds you not to throw things into the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is your canyon. It's the deepest canyon we have. But it will cease to be the deepest canyon if tourists and campers keep throwing things into it. If you want to help in this great campaign to preserve our natural wonders, use the litter cans on your city sidewalks. Don't throw things into the Grand Canyon.
It's fair time again in Louisa. It's the 42nd annual Louisa Firemen's Fair. For a special bicentennial celebration, plan on going to the fair when the gates open at 2 Monday afternoon. The Midway's chock full of fun. 8 rides, games of skill, plenty of excitement for the whole family. And at 6 o'clock, it's the Grand Parade. The fair will run through Saturday night, too, and gates open each night at 7 from Tuesday through Saturday. Plan for a happy holiday week at the 42nd annual Louisa Firemen's Fair.
When I was putting this program together, I was trying to pick out music that would be representative not only of the 200 years that America has been a country, but also music that would represent the people of America now. And I think this one pretty well fills that bill. It's Lynn Anderson's Rose Garden.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. Oh, 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 I beg your pardon. I never promised. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. Well, if sweet talking you could make it come true, I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come on.
Lynn Anderson's Rose Garden here on WJMA. Joe South wrote that one. Coming up in the next half hour, something I think you will find tremendously interesting, even if you don't believe in astrology. I think this will intrigue you. The Kali Yuga World Cycles. You might even want to record this. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, right here on WJMA. AM and FM in Orange. We're going to have music by such people as Judy Garland, and something by a man named Work. Johnny Horton will be along too, so it should be a nice half hour.
Much, much more. It's not a root beer. They're root beers by the score. Drink Dr. Pepper, the joy of every boy and girl. It's the most original soft drink ever in this whole wide world.
Bill Monroe and Dr. Pepper, two originals. Dr. Pepper now available in 8-pack, 16-ounce bottles.
Mr. Gable, I am writing this to you, and I hope that you will read it so you'll know. My heart beats like a hammer, and I stutter and I stammer every time I see you at the picture show. I guess I'm just another fan of yours, and I thought I'd write and tell you so. Oh, 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 you made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad, but there were times, sir, you made me feel so sad. You made me sigh, 'cause I didn't want to tell you, I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand, that's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. I must tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. Oh, gee, Mr. Gable, I don't want to bother you. Guess you've got a lot of girls to tell you the same thing. And if you don't want to read this, well, you don't have to. But I just had to tell you about the time I saw you, and it happened one night. That was the first time I ever saw you. And I knew right then you were the nicest fella in the movies. I guess it was because you acted so, well, so natural-like. Oh, not like a real actor at all, but just like any fella you meet at school or at a party. And then one time I saw you in a picture with Joan Crawford. And I had to cry a little, because you loved her so much, and you couldn't have her. Well, not till the end of the picture, anyway. And then one time I saw you in person. You were going to the Coconut Grove one night, and I was standing there when you got out of your car, and you almost knocked me down. Oh, but it wasn't your fault. No, I was in the way. But you looked at me, and you smiled. Yeah, you smiled right at me as if you meant it. And I cried all the way home just because you smiled at me for being in your way. Oh, I'll never forget it, Mr. Gable. Honest Injun, you're my favorite actor. I don't care what happens, let the whole world stop. As far as I'm concerned, you'll always be the top. 'Cause you know you made me love you.
There she is, Judy Garland and Dear Mr. Gable. Before we go on to some Civil War era music and Wink Martindale's The Gettysburg Address, we're going to take a look at news here in 1976. As I said earlier, this program is being recorded for use in 2076, so we want a good representation of what is going on here. Now, this is the real news here, the stuff that we read every hour. The White House has joined Republican Senator Clifford Hansen of Wyoming in denying a report that he promised Ford political support in return for Ford's signature on a bill, which is nice, but you can't relate to that kind of stuff on an emotional level. You can intellectualize about that, but you can't really get into that. So what I like to do is talk about the real people out there. All right, now here is the real news. Dun-dun-dun. With a skillet in her hand, Connie Schutz is trying for the big time. Mrs. Schutz, Iowa's champion skillet thrower, faces other state champs this weekend in Maxburg to compete for the national title. The target is a dummy with a basketball head. Contestants using a 10-inch cast iron skillet weighing 3 to 4 pounds stand 30 feet away from the target and try to knock off the dummy's head. Some say it's a revival of pioneer self-defense when women had to throw skillets to ward off intruders. All right, in the science news, the American equivalent of the Loch Ness Monster may be residing somewhere in Lake Huron. A mysterious marine creature between 10 and 40 feet long kept swimming close to Michigan shores yesterday, but it isn't cooperating with efforts to find it. The marine biologist says it might be a misguided eel. Some people think it's a big sturgeon. All right, on the agriculture front, Roger may never go on the wagon now that he's hooked on vodka. Roger's a 2-year-old pet sheep in Lake Dallas, Texas. Bob Leatherwood discovered last summer that his sheep liked vodka. The animal nudged him for a sip on the patio. Leatherwood says, Roger now drinks the vodka and goes about his business without weaving, staggering, or slurring his baths. And of course, the news wouldn't be the news without the government news. President Ford's bodyguards at the summit conference in Puerto Rico last week had a German shepherd dog on hand, trained to sniff out bombs. The dog began poking its nose around the cameras and briefcases of newsmen and photographers. As TV cameramen began taking pictures of it, a Secret Service agent made them stop. Asked if he was ashamed of the dog's activities, he replied, I am not ashamed of it. I want to preserve the integrity of the dog.
Visions of America, the Next 100 Years, a 37-part bicentennial weekend special from WJMA, sponsored by State Farm Insurance.
Reproduction in the future. Obviously, it'll have to be limited. Walt Gottschalk, medical engineer, says researchers are now working on mechanical contraception for men.
And my contact told me that you did have to go to your physician to be turned on and off, as you will. I'm sure that is an idea that will probably catch on.
More coming up on Visions of America.
You know, it doesn't make sense. The value of your home is growing, while the value of your homeowner's insurance stays the same. That's why it makes sense to look into a homeowner's policy that can give you inflation coverage. It comes from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest home insurer. And it not only protects your home now, its protection can grow automatically as the value of your home grows. Naturally, it comes with a promise of prompt, personal attention you get from your nearby State Farm agent.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In Madison County, call State Farm agents Bill or Kenneth Hale at 948-4419. In Orange, Wayne Medina, 672-2100.
Walt Gottschalk feels the most important concerns in the future will be the most basic concerns now: food, shelter, and reproduction.
It's obvious that there will be a continued need to limit reproduction, and we have the capability of now of conceiving 2 children and raising them successfully, whereas it was more of a statistical exercise years and years ago. Obviously, with a need to limit growth, we'll probably see wider research in male and female initiated contraception. The estrogenic pill used by the women now indicates some risks. There was recently a program, 3-part series on CBS about the risks involving the pill. I'm sure that scared a few people. Hopefully, at least, it informed the wider audience of the risk. I think perhaps in 100 years, with gained experience, that's a lot of time on a research scale, that some type of contraceptive pill for male and female use will be about as common, if not more so, than aspirin. And for whatever consideration, I'm discussing this without respect for moral and, or I should say, theological considerations. I don't know how far male and female sterilization will go. Right now, amongst contraceptive methods, I see that it's about 26%. I thought that was a very high percentage. Let's see. With the male sterilization technique, it heretofore has been irreversible. In 100 years, we might see a reversibility in that approach. Indeed, I originally wanted to do a dissertation devices for male contraception, and I subsequently found out there was a Japanese fellow physician in Japan that has been experimenting with little teeny gold valves, And my contact told me that you did have to go to your physician to be turned on and off, as you will. I'm sure that is an idea that probably catch on. We're talking about 100 years hence. There are no hard, sure bets, but I think that's something that will probably be rather popular. Now, with respect to cloning, perhaps most people haven't heard of cloning, but that is a technique in, say, microbiology, where you can reproduce a colony of cells from a single cell, and those particular cultured cells are exact duplicates of the original. Indeed, in cancer research, there is a particular cell culture that came from one woman who's been dead 20 years. Her cells have been kept alive for the last 20 years or so for research purposes. Cloning is a technique whereby it's possible to implant genetic material in either a body or in a laboratory environment and have the organism reproduce. This has been done up to a very short period in the gestation period of people, human Homo sapiens. However, in 100 years, it might be possible to have yourself or your wife's self completely reproduced instead of the normal reproductive processes. This would be, of course, an asexual process. And this will raise legal, moral, ethical, theological questions that will make euthanasia and the use of the birth control pill nowadays as issues look like comic strips.
The future of reproduction in the next 100 years, as discussed by Walt Gottschalk. For Visions of America, I'm Russ Roberts.
Visions of America, the next 100 years, a look at third century America, has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance.
The day, November 19th, the year 1863. At 11 o'clock that morning, President Abraham Lincoln rode on horseback in a procession to the new battle cemetery just outside Gettysburg. Edward Everett, the chief orator of the day, was late in arriving. The ceremony was held up until he came. Everett spoke for 2 hours, then Ward Lamon introduced the president, who rose to deliver this brief speech, which of all his speeches has become the most celebrated. It went like this. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
marching.
There's Wink Martindale and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Coming up, works of Henry Clay Work, a little-known songwriter before the Civil War. By the time the war was over, his songs were being sung more than any songwriter's. This one is Who Shall Rule This American Nation. And coming up shortly, the Kali Yuga World Cycles. I think you might want to record these.
Who shall rule this American nation? Say, boys, say. Who shall sit in the loftiest station? Say, boys, say. Shall the men who trampled on the banner, they who now the country would betray, they who murder the innocent freedmen, say, boys, say.
No, never, no, never, the loyal millions say. And tis they who rule this American nation, they, boys, they.
Who shall rank as the family royal, say, boys, say. If not those who are honest and loyal, say, boys, say. Then shall one elected as our servant, in his pride assume a regal sway. Must we bend to the human dictator, say, boys, say.
No, never, no, never, the loyal millions say. And tis they who rule this American.
Music by Henry Clay Work here on WJMA. AM and FM on this bicentennial July 4th. Going to do something now that I find immensely interesting. About 20 years ago, a blind man named McDermott gave a written interpretation of the Kali Yuga world cycles to Nora Forrest in Pittsburgh. This was a 5,000-year cabalistic cycle divided into 7-year periods extending from 1912 to the year 2010. Now keep in mind, this was written back in 1912. McDermott had received the antique record from an Indian national sometime after World War I. It's terribly interesting. I think you should record this. And keep in mind, it was written in 1912. In 1912 to 1919, says Mars Positive, this is the first of three centenarians of the war woe in this country since 1775. Mars in Europe means Balkan, Central Europe, and Northern Italy. All three are involved. 1919 to 1926, Uranus negative. This period sees a psychology fad, wireless radio, popularizing of a great automobile mode of travel. Henry Ford developed the manufacturing line in this period. The beginning of the great advance of air flight. The United States and Russia are negative in world affairs. 1926 to 1933, Jupiter positive. A Jupiter cycle always has two phases. The first half of this phase is too optimistic and overexpansive in all directions. Jupiter, ruler of organized religion, gives so much prosperity during the first phase that people are not interested in the higher life, and an economic crash ensues, the Great Depression. Jupiter fads fade during the second phase, and a truly serious depression follows. As worldly opulence dissolves, interest in religion increases. 1933 to 1940, Saturn negative. This is a very Saturnine time, giving the general public fears, depression, uncertainties, restrictions, and then teaching them to live frugally. The Jews again feel the terror of persecution, and great unrest is felt in Europe. Keep in mind, this was written in 1912, and of course you remember Hitler started oppressing the Jews during this period. 1940 to 1947, Neptune positive, the second of the 7-year war cycles. During the Neptune sub-period of 1,000 years ago, the terror came from the sea, now it comes from the air. In this period, the Orient looms larger and larger, and the world grows smaller in general observation. The entire world is troubled. World War II. 1947 to 1954, Mercury negative. This is a time of restlessness and mental unsettlement. Many new fads and all sorts of movements are introduced. The more thoughtful will say and write that the world has learned nothing from the Second War, but all the time a new religious wave will be spreading. Ireland may produce a child that will develop a new literary form, and France will very likely have a new or different kind of government. 1954 to 1961, Venus Positive. This being the first Venus influence since the Mansions of Libra came into the world, this would be a time of peace, and yet a war that is not a war is being waged. Remember when Khrushchev told us, "We will bury you"? The emphasis on art and beauty receives recognition as a cultural trend. The institution of marriage swings almost too far towards secularity, but will swing back to being a ceremonial natural law. Racially, the Nordic and Western European peoples have strong urges toward coalescing, probably of a formation of a United States of Europe. 1961 to 1968, Sun Positive. There is an old prophecy that the greatest of the popes is to arise in this century, and this seems to be the time for the Flower of Flowers, as he is called. It is to be the last glory of the Catholic Church, as changes in the Church rules are indicated. This is the period in which the United States of America will have the first Catholic president. President Kennedy, of course, is who they're talking about. Racially, there is a decided coalition among the nations. Asia and Africa may be unfriendly toward the United States. Here's where it starts to get pretty interesting. 1968 to 1975, Moon Positive. Wide changes in areas and ideas are instituted about property and taxation will be more reduced than economists thought possible so soon. Racially, the Arab peoples will be feeling the strength of unity, and it'll take statesmanship to keep the new power within bounds. Now we move into the future. Remember, this was written back in 1912. All of those things were unknown when this was written. Now we move further, from 1975 to 1982, Mars Negative. Rumors of war and dissatisfaction with world governing bodies' restraints on nations are indicated. Possible war will threaten from Arabs and from Eastern Asia. Since this is a negative Mars cycle, the period of peace will not end entirely. This is the time in which natural cataclysms will take place. Disunity in the Balkans and restlessness in Central Europe and Africa are still problems in the world. 1982 to 1989, Uranus Positive. The 1920s negative Uranus cycle popularizes the subconscious mind. This period will bring forth a science of the superconsciousness. This is a wonderful time for a new super psychology, the spread of occult wisdom, and vast voyages into worlds hitherto unknown. The United States and Russia dominate the world, and their policies may still be at cross purposes that will end in disaster. This will be a period of great explosion in many ways. 1989 to 1996, Jupiter negative. This is very bad for organized religion. The optimism and belief in goodness and peace may lead to a blindness about troubles and things people do not want to see or believe. During the second half of this cycle comes the third woe with worldwide calamities. 1996 to 2003, Saturn positive. Some scholars have placed the date of the beginning of the millennium here, but it seems unlikely this would be born in a Saturn cycle. Yet the Great War ends in this period. The Jews will be the most fortunate people of the time. 2003 to 2010, the last cycle. Neptune negative. Time of the thousand years of peace is indicated. It's the Kali Yuga world cycles right here on WJMA. I'd like to thank Dick Summer at WNBC in New York for providing me with these. Terribly interesting. Remember, they were written back in 1912. Amazingly accurate to this time. And we don't know, of course, if they're going to be amazingly accurate in the future. Thanks a lot for joining us this afternoon. Hope you have a nice holiday tomorrow. We'll see you again then. Let's close it out with a typical American tune. This is the Battle of New Orleans. Johnny Horton does it for us.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating
beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire our muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well.
We fired our guns and the British kept them coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.